first Sunday morning class on God's oversight. We had looked at this, that God has never left his children, his creation, without oversight. From the beginning, it was so. The creation of Adam and Eve, there were laws and stuff that were governed them concerning the garden in which they lived and what they were doing while in that garden. But we know that they sinned, and God then changed them that they knew good and evil. Also, we looked at the fathers in Hebrews 1 and verse 1. The fathers, Abraham and that group that come along in the book of Genesis, was God's oversight. They were his prophets that taught the people of his will. Then we come into the Mosaic Age when you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. There is, as Moses, God has given the oversight to Moses over the children of Israel. When he says, and Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people came to inquire of me, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. There Moses is in speaking, says, the Lord thy God will raise up a prophet, referring to Christ. As Moses was a prophet, Christ was going to be a prophet. He was going to be the oversight at the time that he was upon earth through his teachings. But he would raise up a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, with unto him you shall hearken. So as the law was given to Moses, the children of Israel was to hearken to what Moses taught when he received the Ten Commandments. But we looked that they did not, if you will, do that. After Moses' death, Aaron came in to be in charge of that. There were other prophets during this time, so you had the law and the prophets. When you look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 21, as far as the oversight goes, Paul there in writing to the church in verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So again, God's people was never left without oversight. At the time that Christ was crucified and Christ ascended back to heaven, then the oversight came under the apostles. When you look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18-20, Jesus came and spake unto them, said, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them. Again, they were have the oversight after Christ left. And after the apostles, all that come about had left. Then we read in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23, and when they had ordained elders in every city or in every church or whatever, they became the oversight. And that's what we have today, or should have, if you will, today. But sadly, a lot of congregations are lacking this. They might have elder entitled. But when you look and see what an elder is, and we'll try to bring it out this morning, you can see the scriptures, even Paul teaches, many scriptures teach about those who are elders or who are truly not elders, those who are shepherds who are really not shepherds. And so we have this today. From the beginning, God set up oversight from creation down through the ages. In our world today, again, God gave oversight to governments, to homes, to schools, to jobs, relationships with friends, the world, how we treat those not in the kingdom, how we treat those who are in the kingdom. Most anything you can think of has laws that God has given. And so we're not left without oversight in all aspects of our life that is contained in this word. But the elders' function is the spiritual one. We have this oversight, these laws pertaining to our physical things that we do. But the elders have the responsibility of our spiritual well-being. A lot of time, trouble arises from those who have oversight in the kingdom. The Bible addresses that. You see, there's a lot of problems in the New Testament that we look at that was half of the eldership in that. When you look at Acts chapter 20, Paul there is calling from the elders from Ephesus. Chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. Paul there says, take heed unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which is purchased with his own blood. For I know this, Paul says, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Paul here is speaking to those outside that are not elders, but he's also speaking of those who are elders, of your own selves. Now, why would elders do this? Well, hopefully we'll see this. Scripture contained many mercies of those who rebelled against God's laws. Christ's kingdom has many problems today, and I think we all agree with that. Even Moses sinned because of Israel's complaints that there was no water. Exodus 20, verse 12, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children. God told Moses to speak to the rock, but he struck him. But Moses was a prophet like Christ. So we're none immune from Satan. But the only way we are immune is through keeping of this word. And therefore, one of the functions of the elders is to teach the congregation of which they have oversight. There's verses after verses that teach why growth is important in our life. We cannot remain a child, if you will, forever. Because if you do, and you don't have people there to help you out, then Satan will have his way with you. It's something we need to understand that. Elders have a big responsibility. The pressure can put on them by those in the church in such a way that causes them to make a decision that they should not make. A lot of members, I know of churches like this, that constantly trouble the elders who is trying to do right. And eventually it causes the eldership to give into them what they want. I think we see that even in the New Testament. Elders are the one who needs to be addressed when a problem arises. Sadly, that don't happen. I may have a problem in my life. Instead of going to the elder, where God has directed me to go, if it's a spiritual matter or whatever, I go to Gary to solve my problem. Why do you think God placed eldership there? That's who we are to go to. We are to be in submission to the eldership. So the elders were bypassed. And I know that happened. To a decision they should have made. Another congregation were brought in to, or men were brought in to give advice to that individual. You're simply overpassed the eldership. What are you doing? You're sinning. That was God's oversight. Just like Moses was, just like the fathers were. That's who that you should have turned to when you have maybe spiritual problems. But we don't. If elders who are truly qualified to be an elder and carry out the duties of an elder, he deserves all the respect that we can give. There's good and there's bad elders. We always need to keep that in mind. Just because a person, if you will, carries that name, does not make him perfect. The only way that he will be perfect when he carries out the duties that are assigned to an elder. And the only way we can be pleasing to God, especially in the kingdom, is that when we have problems and stuff that needs to be addressed, we go to the elders to help those problems. We do not talk behind people's backs as far as concerning the elders. If I have a problem with an elder, I go to that elder to tell them. Just me and him. Nobody else needs to know. Sometimes it spreads, rumors and stuff spreads, so the whole congregation knows about what's taking place. And people, that's a shame when that happens. Matthew deals with some. If I have aught against my brother, just keep it between me and him. That should be as far as anything goes. But it's not. It just spreads like wildfire. And pretty soon, the church that was strong is no longer strong. It is weak. The oversight of Israel after Moses died came through Aaron and his son's lineage. While Israel existed as a nation, they were to teach God's statutes and ordinances. Leviticus chapter 10, if we'll turn there in verse 11. This is a commandment that God gave them, much like the elders today have those things that are written, that how they are to handle the eldership in the New Testament age. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 11. Let's go to verse 10 first. And they, that you may put differences between holy and unholy, between clean and unclean. And this one, people's minds gets boggled. How can you determine holy and unholy? Well, I may ask someone who don't really know me. And they may give me some advice concerning that, but have they told me the truth? How do you determine what is holy and unholy?
What the Bible
says, okay? Again, that is to be our standard. That you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Now think back of Moses' teaching, of Aaron, his sons, and all that went on, and still they sinned. Even Moses and Aaron, and Aaron's sons. It's talking about it in verse 1, Nadab and Abihu. No one is immune from Satan. I don't care what position you may hold. You're not immune from Satan. What happened? Why did they fail to do as God commanded them in the teachings of the children of Israel? What led to Israel's downfall? God gave them all kinds of guidance. You had prophets, inspired. You had leaders, Moses and Aaron. But we see when we think people are strong, they're truly weak in some points, not in all points. When you look at 1 Samuel, I talked about his class of Eli and his sons. What happened? Just because you were a Levite, you were in charge of sacrifices that went on, did that immune you from Satan? When you turn to 1 Samuel 8, verses 1 through 7, you have here Samuel. Samuel talked about Eli and his sons. But here we see one that God even chose. This being Samuel. It says in verse 1, it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, the name of the second was Baha. They were judges in Beersheba. His sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, took bribes, perverted judgment. Does this remind you of Eli's sons? Samuel, one that God chose. Do you think he taught his children? Do you think they knew what there was part of them? What happened? They sinned. Brothers and sisters, don't fool yourself and deny what power Satan has. Okay? Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel and to Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations. What led to this sin upon the king when God was their king? Because of the sin of Eli's sons. And we can see the progression, if you will, of sin as it goes. That Satan, like God, is no respecter of person. That he'll attack the highest or the lowest or whatever. Failure to keep and do God's commandments leads to a person's downfall, especially in the leadership. The father's head of the house. When they fail to teach children, that leadership has failed. A wife is given responsibilities. Failed to do that, the leadership has failed. Satan is one of those battles. We may not think like that, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches. That why are we to grow in knowing this? Now, I'm not saying that we don't ever understand all this. Don't get me wrong. But we can understand it enough that Satan cannot get us. That we can know what to do when certain problems come up or whatever it may be. We should know enough to know what to do to answer people. To avoid the pitfalls that Satan throw before us. But if you don't, you're not going to. They were believed to be examples of those under them. The children of Israel was placed in their care, that they would be examples for them to teach God's statutes in order that they would be pleasing to God. The danger of this, if they fail to be shepherds of God, is found in Numbers chapter 27, and verse 17. If they fail to do what God had commanded them to do, in Numbers chapter 27, and verse 17, it says, there which may go out before them, which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Elders are shepherds. When the elders fail to take care of the flock that's set over them, they're no longer shepherds. They're false shepherds. Enjoying maybe the physical aspects of something instead of the spiritual aspects of something. Zechariah 10, verse 2. Start at verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord's rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give him showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. For the idols have spoken vanity, the diviners have seen a lie, have told false dreams, they comforted in vain, therefore they went their ways in the flock, and they were troubled because there was no shepherds. And I gather from this that they were shepherds, but because they said there was no shepherds, it was why? When a shepherd, or an elder, those who have oversight of anything, fail to do what they should do, you might as well say there's no shepherds. Now, to me, that's what it's referring to on that. So people begin to do what was right in their own eyes in Judges chapter 21, verse 25. So we see the children of Israel while Moses upon the mount asking for an idol to be made. Moses is not there, so what were they doing? They began to do what was right in their own eyes. When you look at Ephesians chapter 4, start at verse 12. Father says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. How do we come to the unity in the faith? Any thoughts? Yeah, well, the scriptures. We study the scriptures. That way we all agree. We come to a unity. We're united in what we believe. And the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then he says, how many warnings do you think are in the Bible concerning God's children, what they should not do, and why are they there? I'm telling you, brother, it's lonely. There's a reason that those are put in there for us. Paul, here's one of them. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man, cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Is this applying to the world concerning us, or is this applying to those in the kingdom? Paul's writing to whom? He's writing to the church's Ephesus. Brother, sister, the kingdom of the church is in danger every day. We see it throughout. We have examples throughout that. Paul says, but speak the truth in love that we may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. But that we no longer be children tossed. A child, we should no longer be children. We should be mature adults, spiritually. We start as a child, we grow. Because there's danger. And we've got people in this congregation very, very knowledgeable that helps. I understand that. But not all congregations have that. A lot of ways we're blessed. Others are not. Even here, not probably some of the things that we're in, maybe the miracles that Christ done, some of these people here at Epsilon or the other church maybe have seen those things. But Paul still writes to them. Don't be talked about that with doctrine. Doctrine, if you will, is going to come too. True. In verse 3, they were more concerned. The apostles' words was that when you look at when it talks about here that you're tossed about, it means to rise and fall as a ship. If you've ever seen an ocean or the waves there, you'll see a ship. They go up for a while and what? They go down. They go up. That's the way a lot of the congregations of the Lord's church is. They're high, they're low. Instead of staying the same, in and out. The word slide means sleight of hand to someone who throws dice. They're trickery. Throw quick and sudden. Deceitful detail. You cannot see what they're doing until it's too late. So we're not to be tossed to and fro by the sleight of what men do. We're to understand what God's word is. And what we need to do when such problems come up. Again, has anything changed today in the religious world? That's what went on in the New Testament. No. And it will not change until time is no more. You're always going to have these churches of Christ who fit the very description of elders rising up, wanting a preeminence in a congregation. You're going to have members who bypass good eldership to go to a buddy for advice, therefore starting to cause division. And I know that happened. But nothing has changed from the time the Old Testament was written, Genesis was written. You just look at example after example after example, and don't believe in me that we're going to be exempt from this. You will turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. Chris, let you read verses 1 through 10.
Ezekiel 34?
Yeah, Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 10.
1 through 10. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought against them that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them.
Woes was given to those people that Ezekiel was writing about, by God, who were irresponsible shepherds. They should have had the oversight and look at the flock, people, the children of Israel, but they did not. They were in it for what reason?
For themselves.
Huh?
Themselves.
Themselves and material things. There's nothing spiritual about it. And that's the danger today in the Lord's church, even as Paul addresses it in Acts chapter 20 that we looked at. That falseness would rise up among the eldership. One won't have the preeminence over someone else. And if you have individuals that are elders that cannot work to be united in what they do, you just assume not to have no elders. They were accused of feeding themselves and not the flock in verse 2. In verse 3, they were more concerned about physical things than spiritual. You eat the fat, clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fatness, but you do not feed the flock. Responsibility of an elder. Has anything changed today in the religious world? No. You still have those type of Church of Christ congregations. Not saying all, but you have those. They failed in their responsibility because they only cared for physical things. Verse 4, God tells them that they should strengthen the weak, heal the sick, bound up the broken, and bring back those driven away and sought those who were lost. Is this the responsibility of an elder? Yes. Not the physical things, but the spiritual things of the flock of which the elder said. They feed them not with physical food, but with spiritual food. Why? Spiritual food is the only source that Satan cannot take us. So that we need to understand. Elders need to understand that. The latter part of verse 4 says, But with force and cruelty you have ruled over them. In other words, kind of comes to my mind, you beat them, Smith, you're going to obey me or I'm going to beat you dead. You may have said that to her children. But you were dealing with the physical aspect of it. Thinking only of themselves and not God's sheep. And in judgment, what do you think would be the plight of these individuals that Ezekiel's writing about? Instead of being examples for the flock, concerned for their souls, their only thought was of physical desires. Because of this, in verse 6, Ezekiel says, My flock is scattered, and no one seeks them. Which tells us what? Well, they were shepherds. They could care less what happened to the sheep. And that exists today. If you're not fulfilling the duties of an elder, the oversight that you have over a congregation, you care nothing for them. You're just useless. We have to understand why God placed all this in as He did. Verse 7, My flock became prey. And you get that from that today, that if we do not understand, if we're not taught, we don't know, then more than likely someone in the denomination knows a lot of scripture, but that will apply them right, it can lead us astray. So we need to know things. The elders have a part in this, in the teaching programs they set up, the class material they set up, what needs to be taught, who is weak, who is strong, what we need to teach. You're trying to reach all that will grow together to the point that Satan cannot tempt us to do wrong. They said, My flock became prey. My flock food for every beast. My flock food for every beast, which means their food was for every false doctrine to come out. They would get into it. They would eat it. That happens today. If you don't grow as you should, because there was no shepherds. The shepherds fed themselves physically, but did not feed his flock spiritually. Because there was no shepherds, if you say. Verse 10, the woe is pronounced upon the shepherds of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep. The shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they no longer be food for them. So when shepherds fail their responsibilities, God removes them. Because of the failure to teach God's children, as God has commanded, the children of Israel, not God, and the covenant they made with him and worship idols. You see the danger of those placed in oversight of not what happens to those who they have the oversight of. If you don't teach them, you're like the children of Israel who won't idol. You'll turn to something else. So it's a danger in that. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 23, take heed to yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord, your God, which he made with you, and made for yourselves. Made for yourself carved images in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger. This they did and forgot Jehovah, his commandments. It leads to the downfall as a nation. And I also make likewise, because we do not, a nation that is without laws or without morals will eventually fall. And likewise, comparison is made to the church or the kingdom. If there's not laws that are followed and kept, done like God said, that kingdom's going to fall. Or that church is going to fall. We know that God's word is truth. So it leads to the downfall. God's anger was vented towards them, and they spent years in captivity, of which only a remnant returned. What led to this downfall? Failure in leadership. How did the shepherds fail? When one fails to uphold God's word or authority, but seeks to establish it thereof, it will lead to failure. This is what Nadab and Abihu did, not following God's ways, but theirs. When the shepherds placed emphasis on physical things of this life, not on spiritual matters, failure to please God will come. So much in the name of religion revolves around physical things today. As it was in Israel, today's shepherds are only being concerned about themselves and the physical things. So it is today. And we talk about a lot about denominations, the physical things that they do to raise money. Brothers and sisters, the Church of Christ is likewise following that trend. Because a lack of